one of the things that you would notice if you go to a place, a lot of places around the world, is that anywhere where tourists will gather, you will almost certainly find a storm of vendors. And they're not just standing there, you know, just sort of like looking at you and saying, well, what are you going to do today? They are hollering for your attention. They are literally hollering. One hotel we stayed at, fortunately, it was just for one night. Hallelujah. We got in there. We were tired. It was the night I think that my passport had been stolen, and we had been running back and forth trying to get to the embassy here and there, checking out of one hotel, carrying her. It was just a chaotic day, and we finally get to the hotel, and we're like, I'm dead, and I got so much on my mind. And I tell you, there's this guy right outside the hotel window on the street, and he's hollering something. I have no idea what, trying to sell something. And he's just going on and on. It's just like a broken record, right? And it was like, is this guy going to stop? Is this guy going to stop? Finally, after a long, long, long time, he finally quit. And I guess it was the end of the day, and he had to go home. I don't know. You remember that, Heather? Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, listening to me bemoaning that. There's noise everywhere. There's noise everywhere. And even before that, you know, when we mentioned our trip to Haiti a little while ago, when we were coming back from Haiti, we had an overnight stop in New York City. And some of the more energetic and mostly younger crowd wanted to go to see Times Square. And off they went. And now I got to tell you, if you're looking for peace and quiet, Times Square is not the place to go. Talk about noise. And it's not just audible noise, although I'm sure there's a lot of that. There's a lot of visual noise too. Everywhere, everything is just trying to grab your attention. Everywhere you look, there's some sign, some slogan, some banner, some flashing lights, something trying to grab your attention. Billboards, you name it. And all that to say that the noise that we put up with is so incredible, it becomes overwhelming to us, so much so that sometimes we can't even think. We can't even think straight. And today, I'd like to talk about the noise that we put up with. The noise that we put up with in our lives, not just the audible sounds we hear and the damage that it does. We live in a confusing time. Truth is that anywhere you look or anything you listen to, there are voices calling out to you in all directions. One person tells you one thing, another person is telling you another thing. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, people are telling you something. And the more voices there are telling you what to do and what to believe and what to think, the more confusion we experience. And it takes a toll on us. I think of Jesus, how he faced the crowds. They loved him. They wanted him. So many were vying for his attention. It's no wonder that he very intentionally stepped away from the crowds every so often. He had to get away from all the noise, from all the distractions. He came for the people. But even then, there was a time when Jesus had to get away from the crowds. And here's the thing, if Jesus had to get away from the crowds, who had to get away from all the noise, where do we stand? I think back to Elijah in the Old Testament. You remember Elijah? Here's a man of God who stood up to 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Okay, and you can read that story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. A very, very powerful display of God's power, of God's presence. An amazing story. And after what could be regarded as a highlight in Elijah's life, what does Elijah do? He runs off to a solitary place. He runs off because somebody had threatened him, and so he wants to get away. He goes off to a solitary place in 1 Kings chapter 19. He wants to be alone. And so after 40 more days, he ends up at Horeb, the mountain of God. And he spends a night in the cave. And this is what the Word of God says. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. One of the things I appreciate about this passage is the way God showed up. In our culture, in our upbringing, we are accustomed to assuming that the loudest voice must be the one that's the most valid, the most powerful, has to be the most true. If it sounds authoritative, it must be right. And we're accustomed to that which seems powerful and loud and strong and all those sorts of things, the booming voice. We would expect, you know, for Elijah to be standing on the mountain and he would hear this booming voice in the earthquake. And after all of that sort of stuff, and we would say, "Oh, that must be God." And so Elijah goes out there, and there's this great and powerful wind. Tore the mountains apart, the Bible says. Shattered the rocks. Pretty impressive stuff, if you ask me. But God wasn't in that. And then there is the earthquake. The ground trembling. And after the earthquake, there's a fire. More demonstrations of power. I mean, if God was going to show up, that's where you'd expect him. You'd expect him to come out with that booming voice there. That's not where he was. And then finally, after all that, there's this gentle whisper. And interestingly, that's what Elijah heard. And he responded to that. He recognized the presence of God in something so quiet, so still. And he went out. And I say all that to say, today there are so many voices that are clamoring to get our attention. The question is, how do we discern which voice we need to listen to? Because life is a lot like standing in the middle of Times Square. All around you, there are voices trying to get your attention. Who do you listen to? I think if the story of Elijah teaches us anything, it's that we can't assume that the loudest voice or the most powerful one is necessarily from God. You see, we often listen and base our decisions on the volume. Maybe it comes back to, you know, when, you know, father is raising his voice, you know, volume. Oh, this is serious. This must be, you know. But sometimes father or mother has to say something very quietly. And that perks up the ears even more. Because that's when you know you're really, really in trouble. And we assume that the most loudest voice is the one that's true and valid. We listen to the volume. What we need to do is listen to the source. Where is it coming from? The volume is just volume. You know, we have some great sound people in the back. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Sarah. You know, they can crank up the volume. Please don't. But they could, you know. It's easy. It's easy to crank up the volume. What's the source? What are we truly listening to? Where is it coming from? That's what we really need to ask. The noise that we're hearing, the voices that we're listening to, the sounds that are coming in, where are they coming from? That's the real question. First of all, there's the voice of man. And quite often, we are quite accustomed to listening to the voice of man. In John chapter 12, verse 42, "Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God." Here are some people who, leaders who believed in Jesus. They believed in him, but they didn't acknowledge him because of what others would think. They were concerned about the voice of man. They were concerned about what others would have to say. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that they're doing a great job? We all do. We all want a pat on the back from time to time. We all want to hear, "Oh yeah, it's great. Oh, I'm with you. Oh yeah, yeah." And there's a point where the voice of man became so important that they shut aside the will of God. In contrast, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" So there's this place where the voice of God is more important. The desire of God is more important than what man would say or what man would think. And so we need to, when we're hearing different people, when we're hearing different voices, what should I do? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? What, you know, you should this, you should. We need to ask, where is the source of this? Is it from man or is it from God? I'm not saying the voice of man doesn't have a place. There's a place where we need to ask one another, what do you think, and how does this fit in? What's your opinion? Am I on track? Am I going off track? But when we substitute the voice of God for the voice of man, then we're in dangerous ground. And even more dangerous is the voice of the enemy. The voice of Satan was first heard in the Garden of Eden when he spoke to Eve in Genesis chapter 3. The enemy uses all kinds of voices to mislead us. On the one hand, he is a roaring lion seeking some to devour. On the other hand, he is a toothless liar, smooth talking. John chapter 8, verse 44, he describes him, "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The enemy's goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy's goal is to fill us with false voices. He works through coercion. He works through confusion. He creates doubt. We need to discern whether the voices we hear are coming from God or they're coming from the enemy. The Holy Spirit, his voice brings conviction. The enemy, his voice brings guilt. and doubt and shame. It's an important distinction for us to remember. There's a distinction between God-led conviction, that would be the voice of God, when we know in our heart that, hey, the direction we're taking, the course we're on, the decisions we're making are not godly. That's conviction. The voice of the enemy is filled with guilt and shame, and you're no good, and you'll never measure up, and God will never forgive you, and. The voice of the enemy, it's often appealing because he says what we want to hear. The voice of the enemy offers us the path of least resistance. I mean, who wouldn't like that? You know? Oh, sure. Make it a triple scoop ice cream. No, just kidding. We like. We want. He knows what we want. He knows what we like. He knows where we're weak. In contrast to that, there's the voice of God. And that's the challenge, is hearing the voice of God above all the other noise in this world. And again, I take you back to Elijah. God didn't shout to Elijah. In the book of Revelation, God doesn't say, I'm going to break down your door and you're going to listen to me. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. Doesn't even pound. Knock. And for Elijah, he spoke softly. I mean, what would happen if Elijah was living today and he had earphones on? Well, he wouldn't hear. Well, figuratively, they didn't have earphones then, but what if he had other things going on in his heart and mind? He wouldn't have heard. And the simple truth is that the more noise we hear from the world, or to put it another way, the more we are in tune with the things of this world, the harder it will be to hear God's voice. And I really believe that's why we get confused so often. We are standing in the middle of Times Square. All around us, there are sights and sounds vying for our attention. There are voices trying to tell us this way and that way, and you should this, and try some of that, and why don't you this, and how about, you know, it's all around us. And in the middle of that, we're trying to discern, what does God want? What is God saying? And it becomes hard to hear. And it's hard to hear not because God isn't speaking. It's because we just can't hear. Our hearing is bad. We have too many other things going on. Reminds me of the time a man was having difficulty communicating with his wife. I know it's never happened before, but just imagine with me. He concluded, why are you guys laughing? He concluded that she was becoming hard of hearing. So he decided to conduct a test without her knowing it. So one evening, he sat in the chair on the far side of the room, and her back was to him, and she could not see him. And so he whispered somewhat softly to his wife, can you hear me? And there was no response. So he moved in a little bit closer, halfway across the room, and he said again, honey, can you hear me? And there was no response. So he went right up behind her, just a foot or two away, and said, sweetheart, can you hear me? And again, there is no response. So finally, he went right up to her and said, turned her around and said, can you hear me now? To his surprise, she turned around with a bit of irritation in her voice and said, for the fourth time, yes. If we aren't hearing God's voice, it's probably because we're the ones with the hearing problem. And I suggest that instead of being in the middle of Times Square, maybe we need to push away from it all and get back to God's word. Because the bottom line is, if we want to hear God's word, God's voice, it's already here in God's word. There are so many things that God makes clear to us. We don't have to wonder what God has to say. In a lot of areas of life, we don't. I don't need to wonder what God has to say about getting drunk. It's pretty clear. I don't need to wonder what God has to say about integrity, whether I should cheat on my income tax return or not. The voice of the enemy will say something, but the voice of God is already clear on integrity. I don't need to worry about what God says about sexual relationships outside of marriage. It's very clear. I don't need to worry about so many other topics, hating my brother, committing adultery. I know. And yet the voice of the enemy makes things sound so good and so tempting, and so we hear so many different things that we get confused and we get drawn into things. The problem is we don't want to hear God's voice because often it doesn't say what we want to hear. So we fill our ears with lots of noise. And if I can describe our society today, that's what it is. Filling ears with lots of noise so we don't have time or ability to even hear God's voice anymore. The Bible even warns us, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? And yet we need to hear God's voice. So how do we do it? How do we listen and discern God's voice? I just want to suggest two things. I want to keep it simple. Keep it simple, that's what they say. Number one, we need to step back from all the noise. We got to get away from it. We need to find that place of quiet, not just quiet in the audible sense, but our lives in general. We have too much going on. We're just running around in circles. So much happening. If we want to hear God's voice, we need to slow down and step back. And secondly, which is fairly obvious, this isn't, you know, this, you don't need a degree in theology to get this. We need to be careful who or what we are tuning into, listening to. Are we listening to the world's voice of reason? Are we listening to the enemy's voice of deception? Or are we listening to God's voice of truth? It's already there. You know people, I know people of God who have fallen away. And you wonder, how could that be? And I think it's very simply because we have tuned out God's voice of truth and started to embrace all sorts of deception and lies. And simply the best way to get on track is to step back from all the noise and to say, hey, what does God's word actually teach us? God's voice is already laid out for us in his word. It's there if we read it. The Bible even tells us we must not just hear God's word, we need to do what it says. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you by asking, is there something that God has been trying to say to you? Deep in your heart, is there something that you know God has been trying to get across to you, but you've filled with so many other things that you haven't really paid attention? You've blocked it out with all the stuff of life. Is there something that God has been trying to say to you? And if so, would you listen? Would you put aside all the other stuff and be able to hear him, I want to encourage us this morning just to take that time to listen for God's voice. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord God, to lead us, to guide us. And yet, Lord, I recognize that the voices of this world and the voice of the enemy can distract us, can overwhelm us, can confuse us. And Lord, somehow we need to get away from all of that. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that if you've been wanting, if you've been speaking truth in someone's life this morning, and there has been other things that have been crowding it out, I pray, Father God, that today, here and now, in the quietness of this place, Lord God, that we may hear from you. I pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning, to each one of us. If there's something we need to hear from you, I pray, Lord God, that we would hear it. And Lord, not only would we hear it, but we would follow through by your grace, by your strength, by your power. Lord, I pray that your will would be done today in our lives, that it would be a turning point, that today would be a turning point for us, that we would start tuning out some of the voices of this world and being more in tune with you. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.